HIV was first recognized as an illness by the U.S. government in 1981. Locally, the epidemic is not over. San Francisco is indelibly marked by the epidemic, which reached its height in the 80s and 90s. But what's going on now? Dr. Susan Buchbinder is director of Bridge HIV, a Department of Public Health HIV Prevention Research Program. She's also on the steering committee of Getting to Zero San Francisco, an initiative that aims to reduce deaths, new infections, and stigma. She sat down with KALW's Jen Sheehan.
So nationally, new HIV infections have held steady at about 50,000 per year for the last decade. Is HIV/AIDS still an epidemic?
It is still an epidemic. Globally, there's still about 2 million new infections per year. And while the numbers have been coming down globally, we still have HIV still has a massive impact on people's well-being, on the economies of multiple countries, and on the duration of people's normal lifespans. Uh-huh. But what's really changed in the last 10 years has been getting access to treatment for people globally. And that's really increased dramatically. We've also learned that if you get treated early and you get treated so that your virus is fully suppressed in the blood, that you're substantially less likely to transmit HIV to a sex partner or an injection drug partner. So
not only does it help them avoid the health pitfalls, but actually can stop or almost stop the transmission.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And then we have now the other side of the equation, which is we know that pre-exposure prophylaxis or taking a daily pill can prevent someone from becoming HIV infected. So now we have this opportunity for synergy where you can both provide treatment for somebody who's infected and provide prevention for someone who's uninfected. And we think that in combination, we really can eliminate the epidemic. We can bring down new infections to a very low level and maintain the health of people who are infected and keep people who are not infected from becoming infected.
PrEP, or pre-exposure prophylaxis, is a relatively new tool in the fight against HIV infection. And I know that last year, the SF Board of Supervisors approved $350,000 to aid in access to PrEP for San Francisco residents. How is that going? How's that program going?
The city has been remarkably supportive of all of our efforts in Getting to Zero. And Getting to Zero is a consortium of groups from all over the city that are working towards this goal of zero new HIV infections, zero HIV deaths, and zero HIV stigma.
And those are goals set by the UN program on HIV/AIDS?
That's right. So UNAIDS does also have a Getting to Zero program. And we believe that in San Francisco, we're poised to become the first municipal entity to actually achieve that goal of zero. Because we have so many different groups working, we have so many activists in the community who have been working so hard for so many years, we have these tools, we have the political will, so we believe that in combination we can get to zero.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that we know that even if we can completely treat HIV, it can still be causing some low level of inflammation. And so we want to suppress that fully as we can. But the best way to do that is not to get infected at all. So while we are working as hard as we can to treat people who are HIV infected and hopefully ultimately cure them, we also want to have this path to prevent new infections through hopefully a vaccine in the future, but right now through pre-exposure prophylaxis. And people won't need that prevention all through their lives. We can think about it as kind of like contraception for women, that there are periods of time when they need to prevent pregnancy and when they may be at risk for pregnancy. And then there are other times when that's not an issue for them. And similarly, there are periods of time when people may be at higher risk, particularly as
they're like between relationships or in a period where they're just having a lot of partners, for example.
Exactly. They're vulnerable for one reason or another. It may be that they're young. It may be that they're between relationships. It may be that they have, that they're using some substances. And while they're dealing with the substance use issue, you still want to help protect them from becoming HIV infected. So we really do talk about PrEP as being used during these seasons of risk and not as a lifetime preventive treatment.
That's Dr. Susan Buchbinder, the director of Bridge HIV at the San Francisco Department of Public Health. brings me to this question, which is, who is affected by HIV then in San Francisco? Is it still mainly men who have sex with men? Who else is affected?
So it is, we do have a different epidemic than we see, for instance, on the East Coast, in that our epidemic is very largely in men who have sex with men. We're one of the few places that actually measures HIV infection in the transgender population. And although it's a smaller number of individuals, proportionate to the size of that population, it's a very, very heavily impacted population. We're fortunate in that from very early on in the epidemic, we had syringe exchange programs and harm reduction programs for people who inject drugs. So we've never had the kind of epidemic in people who inject drugs that was seen on the East Coast or that was recently seen with a breakthrough cluster of infections in Indiana, where there was a very large cluster of new infections spread through injection drug use. But we see the same kinds of disparities that are seen across the nation in terms of race, ethnicity. We have higher rates of HIV infection in Black or African American men who have sex with men than in white men who have sex with men. The numbers are highest in the white population because we have a much larger white population in San Francisco, but the rate per 100,000 is much more intense in the African American community. The good news is that rates are coming down in both groups. And the good news is that we've seen a pretty dramatic decline in new infections or new diagnoses in women in San Francisco.
What about in young people, in the group of people, let's say, under 25? What are you seeing in the infection rate there?
So we do see a relatively high infection rate in people who are younger, in the 15 to 25-year-old age range. 15 to 29 is really the way that we're looking at it. And they're accounting for now the greatest proportion of new infections. So it is a real issue and a real problem. And as I said, people who are younger may be more vulnerable to HIV. It may be for biological reasons, but it's certainly also for social reasons. They may have less power in relationships. They may not yet have been able to negotiate safer sex practices. They may be experimenting in different ways. And so we really think that we need to address HIV prevention among younger people. It's also true that the younger people are the ones who are least likely to remain in care. And that's a group that we really need to keep in care. What's great is that we now have more systems for health insurance for everyone, including younger people may be able to be maintained on their parents' health insurance. But sometimes that creates its own set of issues if a person doesn't want their parent to know that they're getting these kinds of health services. So again, we need to work on all of that. And that ties right back into stigma.